The water table helps drive that because it's influencing the oxygen availability. So as you go down then in the saturated zone, then you're ensuring that you are moving into quite an anoxic sort of environment. The United Classification System, the American system then for sizing, can be used to construct one of these diagrams here that will tell you which particular soil type you're looking at. Now by soil type, using the triangle diagram, you use a particle sizer, which uses a laser beam nowadays to figure out what the size of the particle is. They've got some down in Townsville. These things then figure out the percentage of the clays based on the fraction less than 6 microns, the percentage of silt, the percentage of sand. You then use those tabulated data to figure out, are you looking at a clayey soil? Are you looking at a silty loam? And it's just the percentage. So in this case here, we're saying if we've got, for instance, 30% sand and we've got, say, 80% silt and 20% clay, they're into a silty loam. That's how you use these. Now, these are common terms that you will find routinely when people are referring to soils. That's using a triangle diagram to describe the texture of the soil that we're looking at. Next way to describe the soil is on the basis of density. The bulk density measurements, they require a bit of gear to measure them. So we've done a measurement of bulk density on a soil up at Cape Tribulation. We've got a re-veg plot running, and so we thought it would be interesting to try and figure out the carbon balance on the re-veg plot over time. So what we've done is we've determined the bulk density of the soil at the start. We're measuring the carbon percentage in the soil, and we'll go back in an extended period of time in 10 years and we'll measure the bulk density again and the carbon percentage again, and from that we're able to figure out the amount of carbon that's stored in the soil. So the bulk density is quite a standard sort of thing. It uses something like a little coring machine to do it. The differences arise from the fact that you have got different amounts of pore space present due to packing, so the type of materials they've got in the soil, and there's a difference between for instance, sulfidic materials containing metals will have a much higher density than materials that are primarily silicic in nature, because silicon simply got a much lower atomic mass than iron, for instance. We can look at the structure of the soil itself. Now, in this case here, we're looking for regular organized structure in the soil. For those of you doing the course with Paul, you know that it's quite a touchy-feely sort of thing, soils, and people can often go and grab a piece of soil and squeeze it between their fingers and pull it into little strands and stuff and say that they're dealing with a silty loam simply because they've pulled that many ribbons and things that they can identify correctly that texture simply by inspection. So we had a guy from UWA who was over here, did that soils course the first year. And I sat in on it. Now, I went to one of the prac sessions and he was able to actually classify the texture of two soils in parallel. So he's parallel processing, figuring out. And there's multiple things you have to do. You create little balls, you create little ribbons and stuff. And so yeah, people that do a lot of soil stuff can do this very quickly and completely correctly. Like, that comes back spot on with the stuff that you've had to use your laboratory method to use. Next way of classifying the soil is on its permeability. That's going to depend then on like percentage of clays that you've got in the soil. The percentage of organic matter will change how much water is able to actually pass through the soil. Now, these things here then, I'm going to ask about soils for sure in the final exam, and this is one of the standard things I'm going to ask, is different ways of classifying your soil. So the